This is iFaith Video Sermon 39 from 2 Corinthians. When we looked at 1 Corinthians, we had two lessons that fitted each other. And they both centered around that theme of unity, and particularly the importance of humility if we're going to stay together. There's a different kind of disunity going on in 2 Corinthians, and that's the bad feeling and the bad report circulating about Paul. Someone was trying to get between the apostle and his church. Today's lesson is called Depend on Him, Not Me. And again, the following message will tie in very closely. I'll be reading now from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So again, that's from 2 Corinthians 1. Paul has been suffering terribly. We don't know exactly what triggered it, but we have some ideas. His point is, there is an upside to suffering. It's not all bad, because when there's suffering, it's an opportunity for God's comfort, often through other people, to come straight to our hearts. And as we suffer, we learn how to comfort others. Christ is able to give us comfort and perspective because He too has suffered. He knows what that's like. Another part of the New Testament that centers around these ideas is the letter of 1 Peter. Well, let's continue. Paul says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Paul feels he has something in common with the Corinthians. That is, they can share when times are hard. Opposition, suffering. Of course there was suffering involved in being a Christian in the first century, the second century, the 21st century. It's not easy following the way of Christ. Much easier to settle for one of the, false gospels that's circulating today. He continues, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Let me pause there. When he says he's in Asia, this is the province of Asia, which is the western part of Anatolia or Asia Minor, modern Turkey, which is just part of the whole continent of Asia. So he's referring to a very specific place. And there are good reasons to believe that the suffering happened in Ephesus, where Paul spent a lot of time. Ephesus and Corinth both received a lot of his attention. And he says that we despaired of life itself. He wasn't alone, but he and his companions were really hurting. Indeed, we had felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Oh, I love that passage as a young Christian. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Now, Paul is not someone who just suffers in silence, who has a martyr complex and then a roaring bad attitude because no one figured it out. He's a very verbal person, very expressive in word, spoken word, orally, written word, very verbal person. And he believes in the power of prayer. Paul has experienced severe tribulation, severe pressure. Says he felt the sentence of death. I don't think we should mean that he was tried and condemned to death. I think he's saying he felt like something horrible was happening. I remember when my father realized he had cancer. A few weeks later, on the phone, he said he felt like he was under a death sentence. Well, we can feel like we're going to die, even if there's no imminent danger. course, in Paul's case, there was frequently danger. But it was severe persecution. And I love that verse, verse 9. It says, this was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's why I've entitled this little talk, Depend on Him, Not Me. That is, self-reliance is not the smart strategy. In fact, relying on others doesn't always work either. Sometimes it's just between God and me, and others cannot help or they don't know what's going on. Well, let us continue. He felt the sentence of death. He was sorely oppressed. And we learn through the rest of the letter the kinds of sufferings that the great apostle experienced. He is getting trouble with the false brothers. He speaks of certain people as false brothers. That's different from Philippians 1, where you have true brothers with false motives. They're teaching the real gospel, but they're giving Paul a lot of trouble. Here, he refers to false brothers. And then a very interesting term we find later in this letter, the super apostles. I don't know if they made that up or if Paul made it up being slightly sarcastic. These are not the Jerusalem apostles. There's no quarrel between Paul and Peter. There's no problem here. They're not Jerusalem apostles unless they totally forgot their manners and they forgot that Jesus taught them to be humble and to serve. Rather, as we go through 2 Corinthians, we learn many things about these super apostles. Of course, they made fun of Paul. They thought they were superior to him. They put faith in credentials, like documents, eloquence, that is, speaking well. And Paul, they don't like the way he speaks, and they say he's unimpressive. That's in chapter 10. By the way, this all ties back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians as well. Well, what else? They are wealthy. It seems that they have some power. And in fact, they criticize Paul because Paul isn't accepting money. So these people are worldly. They claim to have some deep spiritual experience. Paul says, hey, I went to the third heaven, but I don't talk about that. What Paul talks about will actually be his suffering. His response is so different from theirs. They compared themselves by themselves instead of comparing themselves to Christ. Paul's response will be that suffering with Christ is not only part of the Christian life, but it's a primary indicator that one is genuine. Those deceitful preachers Paul criticizes are not good people. Now, we'll have to talk more about this next time. And right now, I'm just going to move my camera a little bit because I think it may be overheating. I don't want to have to re-record. That is a minor kind of suffering. So what are we looking at here? Depend on Him, not me. Let's make some application. We suffer all the time, right? We frequently have suffering, minor. Sometimes it doesn't feel minor, and then sometimes it's significant. Don't get bent out of shape. We become short. We become impatient. We lack faith. We forget that the Lord has come through before, and He'll come through again. We want to trust Him, not ourselves. And what is the point here? Learning to rely on God, not relying on ourselves. And I think in the New Testament, apart from Jesus, of course, no one lived this out the way Paul did. Paul was just amazing. We know so much about his life. And we would have given up. I would have given up. Well, I think of the time in Acts. He's preaching, and then he's stoned. And he's so badly hurt, they think he must be dead. You know, he's dragged out of the city, he's stoned, but as soon as he comes to, he wants to go right back in. An amazing fellow. I mean, we would have had many weeks of recovery and rehab and probably counseling and feeling sorry for ourselves. Paul really loved people. That comes across very strongly in the Corinthian letters. He doesn't say directly, I love you. You don't find that phrase in the scripture much. But he affirms that he loves them in 2 Corinthians. Depend on Him, not on me. So what do you think about that? Are you feeling pressure? Are you in a time of trial or tribulation? Realize that maybe there's a purpose behind it. I don't mean that God sent the pressure to teach you a lesson or you did something bad. Maybe that's overanalyzing. What I mean is this. When we're tempted to rely on ourselves, when we get inward focused and we feel despair, this may be just the time that we should depend on Him and not ourselves. Next time, we'll be again in 2 Corinthians, and we have a lesson that's called Weakness and Power. Hope you'll take that into.